I recently polled the members in my private community and asked them if it was hard to work in the midst of their spiritual awakenings. And a whopping 97% of members said they struggled to be productive or went through ups and downs at work because of the symptoms of their awakenings. Over on my Instagram account, people left dozens and dozens of comments on how challenging it was to hold a job during a spiritual awakening. People talked about how they had to limit the number of days they worked. Some said they had to quit work altogether. Others talked about being exhausted all the time, or worse, sometimes not even being able to get out of bed on some days. And others talked about having full-blown burnouts. And boy, do I resonate with this comment, because that's exactly what happened to me in 2021. I was working long hours and had a severe burnout and then an Epstein-Barr infection that decimated my body and left me bedridden for weeks. But one particular comment on my Instagram post caught my attention. As a single mom, I don't have a choice but to keep going. This really put things into perspective for me, because when I had a burnout, I was able to just stop working for a few months because I had the privilege of being financially stable at the time. But so many people don't have the luxury of taking a sabbatical or cutting down on work hours because they have children to raise, bills to pay every month, and other responsibilities. If this is your situation, this video will help you successfully balance the responsibilities of work with the many changes that happen during a spiritual awakening. And make sure to stick around for the whole video, because later on I'll share a special exercise that will completely change your energy levels at work.
Yes!
First, let's talk about how a spiritual awakening affects our ability to work. Since the process of waking up affects every area of life, then it makes sense that our work life would also be affected. But I want to go deeper into the three layers of being that are most affected by a spiritual awakening: the mental, the emotional, and the physical. Mentally, a spiritual awakening causes us to question everything. Often this is how our spiritual awakening starts. We start asking deep existential questions like, what am I doing with my life? Is there something more than this? Am I living the life that I want? Am I meant for more? These existential questions open a mental door that allows our soul energy to pierce through the tough mental construct known as the ego. The ego is your sense of self as a human, separate from the outside world or from other humans. When your soul comes into that open mental door, your entire egoic sense of self begins to fall apart. Your personality may change, your likes and dislikes can change, the way you see the world changes. This is actually one of the biggest complaints that friends and family members often have of people who are awakening. They feel like a part of that person has died because they become so different, sometimes unrecognizable. A spiritual awakening also causes the brain to rewire, to remember past traumas that need to be healed and old unprocessed memories that need to be released. And all of these mental changes can be wonderful sometimes because they make you feel like a totally new person. But on the other hand, it can feel so uncomfortable to wake up one day and not know who you are because your old self is dying. Here you are going through all of these ego deaths, these personality changes and mental shifts, and then you still have to wake up in the morning, chug some coffee, go to work, and be productive. When in reality, all of the mental changes from a spiritual awakening can make you feel almost brain dead sometimes. People often complain of becoming forgetful, having mental fogginess, and not being able to think straight. Forgetfulness, mental fogginess, not thinking straight, all of these mental changes, it's no wonder work feels so hard. Emotionally, a spiritual awakening can feel like popping the cork off of a champagne bottle. All the emotions that were repressed inside of you suddenly come to the surface to be seen and processed. You begin to feel feelings that had been hidden before, and many times the emotional content is heavy and hard to work with. That's why these heavier emotions were repressed and unprocessed to begin with. And one particular aspect of emotional processing during a spiritual awakening is the hardest: feeling opposite emotions in a short amount of time. This is so hard for people, and it makes them feel crazy at times. You can go from feel happy one minute to sobbing and sad the next, or peaceful and content one minute to angry the next. And this polarization of emotional energy can feel so distressful and unbalanced. It's a necessary step in the balancing of emotions when they come up to be healed during a spiritual awakening, but it can also be really hard to navigate this when you have to go to work every day, especially because most workplaces are not welcoming of people's emotional sides. So often, people who are going through these emotional shifts feel so exposed and vulnerable when they go to work. And they feel like they have to hide their emotional states for fear of being seen as crazy. Physically, a spiritual awakening can take a pretty intense toll on your body temporarily, and this is mostly happening through a spiritual process known as ascension. Ascension means that your human avatar or the lower self starts going up in energetic frequency to a higher, more pure energy. The human avatar begins to embody higher concentrations of light. And in order to understand how your body does this, you need to remember a term called light quotient or LQ. The term light quotient is the amount of light that your body and cells can carry and emit. The more light that a body carries and houses, the higher the LQ. So during ascension, your LQ increases, and your body does this first by triggering what's known as cell purging. Each cell in your body is a tiny miracle powerhouse. Your body has about 40 trillion of them, and all of them are sentient beings. During a period of ascension, the cells collectively purge out their old energy contents, almost like someone does when they throw up. Old baggage, past memories or traumas, old beliefs, these are all examples of old energy that the cells in your body will purge. Once the purging is done, the cells now have space for more light to enter. With an increase in light concentration in the cells, they begin to vibrate faster than before. Your body's light quotient increases, and your body is able to house more light than it could before. Now, that may sound amazing that your body changes and that you can actually carry more light than before, but ascension is very demanding on the human body. We can feel exhausted and have many physical symptoms like soreness, headaches, palpitations, anxiety, and so much more. Now, a side note here is that although a spiritual awakening can cause many physical symptoms, that doesn't mean that all physical issues are coming from a spiritual awakening. So please don't shy away from seeing a doctor to rule out anything going on in your physical body beyond a spiritual awakening. When you look at what's happening on the mental, emotional, and physical levels, here's the key consequence of all these spiritual changes that you must remember. They all involve a decreased availability of chi or prana. Although your soul energy is infinite, your human vessel is finite in the amount of energy it can produce. This vital energy is called chi or prana in some traditions, but you can simply call it vital energy. When you go through a spiritual awakening, there's so much going on in all parts of your being, and all these transformations require an enormous amount of energy. The end result is that there's a decreased availability of energy to do other things in your life, like working. So the conundrum is, how exactly do you keep working during a spiritual awakening without having a complete burnout? The trick is energy management. You have to learn how to conserve your energy when you can, but also how to cultivate energy in order to charge your batteries. And here are five ways to help you do that effectively. The first way is to understand a spiritual awakening. In my years of coaching people, I found that when people are unaware of what's happening to them, they feel lost and confused. And that confusion leads to higher anxiety, which then makes the spiritual awakening symptoms worse. When people begin to understand that they're having a spiritual awakening, what that means, and how to work with the many challenges of an awakening, the confusion and anxiety fall away, and people feel clear and grounded, even if the awakening is hard at times. So the first step in helping you survive at work during a spiritual awakening is understanding what's happening to you on a spiritual level. And if you're feeling lost and confused right now and don't know where to start, I've prepared a free masterclass called The Three Secrets to Mastering a Tough Spiritual Awakening. In it, you'll receive the three secrets to help you navigate a spiritual awakening, one key ingredient that helps quickly calm down your system during an awakening, and a special grounding exercise that you can download and use daily, and a comprehensive workbook with journal prompts to help you solidify everything you learn in this masterclass. To watch this free masterclass, click on the link below after watching this video. The second way to effectively manage your energy is through rest. When you're going through the changes of a spiritual awakening, especially the phases of ascension, you may need more sleep than you did before. This has been the case for so many people I work with, and in my life too. Normally, I need about 7 to 8 hours of sleep, but when I'm going through ascension phases, I may need 9 hours of sleep at night. And one mistake I used to make when I needed to sleep more was I would go into self-judgment and think I was getting lazy. I would sometimes even force myself to sleep only 7 to 8 hours because I wanted to stay disciplined. But then I realized how ridiculous this was and how much it was causing problems for my body. So I started following my body's natural cycles, even if at times I needed to sleep more. So if you're going through an ascension period, allow yourself to sleep more because this will help you stay refreshed at work. And this doesn't have to be continuous overnight sleep. You can also use power naps throughout the day to keep your body rested. Now, if you're someone who says,
"But I don't have time to sleep,"
then remember to at least take mindful breaks throughout the day where you stop whatever you're doing for a couple of minutes, close your eyes, and take a few deep breaths. And here's a pro tip to help you remember the mindful breaks. Set alarms on your phone throughout the day and give yourself at least 2 minutes of mindfulness at a time. This may seem like a really short amount of time, but the deep breaths and pauses can really help relax your nervous system. The third way to manage your energy is to make conscious work choices. This means you're very discerning about the type of work environment you put yourself in. You learn to advocate for yourself at work so you're comfortable, and maybe that means even asking for remote work if possible, at least part of the week if you feel you need it. For some people, work choices can mean leaving a specific job for another one that feels more in alignment with their spiritual awakening. Like one of my audience members who said, "I left my career in HR. I took a job running a forklift on a freezing cold freight dock, punching a clock, and I couldn't be happier. Simple hard work where I can move my body has freed my mind to be able to handle my spiritual crises when they come up." I love that this person respected what their body and minds needed and chose the job that fit those needs instead of forcing themselves to pursue a career that no longer resonated with them. The fourth energy management tip is energy capture. Remember that energy management means I know how to conserve energy when necessary, but I also know how to cultivate energy, meaning I know how to capture it from places other than my own body. You heard that right. You absolutely can capture energy from your outside environment to help fuel your energy system. And here's a quick exercise you can use daily to help recharge your batteries. Come on, stand up and do it with me. Stand with your feet shoulder width apart and close your eyes. Take a few deep breaths and with your eyes closed, begin to visualize light coming from all the living and non-living things around you. If you're standing by a tree, visualize the tree giving off light energy towards you. If you're standing in the sun, visualize the sun sending its light rays into your body. No matter what is around you, use that as a source of energy. Then bring your hands in front of your belly button and pretend you're holding a basketball-sized energy ball between your hands. Focus on your hands and visualize the light energy coming from the environment around you and concentrate in the space between your hands so it forms a ball of energy. The longer your focus, the stronger the energy concentration. You can move your hands around to help focus on the energy. Do this for at least 2 minutes, and then when you're ready, gently bring your energy ball into your lower belly area, known in traditional Chinese medicine as the lower dantian. Then bring your hands to your side and stand there for a while longer, feeling your whole body become energized from the extra energy that has come in. This is a simple but amazing energy capture exercise that's inspired in the traditional Chinese medicine practice of Qigong. The fifth way to manage your energy is through relationship choices. Relational connections are often the ones that involve the highest concentration of energy exchange, meaning that they often drain us the most or they give us the most energy too, depending on the type of connection you have. So we have to choose wisely who we spend our time with, be very discerning of who uplifts your energy and who drains it, and then make a conscious choice to spend more time with the people who uplift you than those who drain you. And one of the most important areas to do this in is with romantic partners. I've heard so many stories of people who say that they're having a spiritual awakening while raising children and working full time, but their partners don't help them at all. They just end up adding weight and they need taken care of just like a child. This is a sign that you have an emotionally immature partner. And if this is the case, you're going to be more drained of your energy than necessary. So either your partner grows with you and supports you as you support them, or you'll probably have to make the hard choice to move on. Speaking of moving on, if you're having issues with relationships, check out this video about why certain people leave your life during a spiritual awakening and how to navigate those changes.